This year, many things will be vying for your attention. What you give your attention to is what will drive you. If you give your attention to nothing, your life will be aimless. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. If you give your attention to lies, your life will be full of deceit. But if you give your attention to God, He will direct your path. If you look in your pockets, many of you have something that's very important to you. At least the guys. Girls keep them in their purses. Why do we keep our keys in our pockets? Because we need them. We need our keys. Why do we need keys? We need our keys to open things. And we can open things. We can get in all kinds of things that we value. One thing we value is our houses and our vehicles. The places that we dwell and the thing that moves us. Our house and our vehicle. So we keep our keys in our pocket because that's how we access these valuable things. This morning, we're going to look at three keys that will give you access to have a scriptural-driven life. My prayer for you, my prayer for us all, is that in 2021, Scripture would drive our life. These three keys that are three verses, three passages we're going to look at this morning, that will guarantee that if you pull them out and you open them up with the key that these passages speak of, that you'll have a biblically driven life. How many here would value having a biblically driven life? Where you dwell, where you live, and what would drive you all the days of your life in this year. So let's look at these three keys. The first key is to meditate on Scripture. And that is Psalm 1. Psalm 1 begins with blessed. You need this key to bless you. Bless you. Psalm 1, blessed is the man. And that refers to the man, to the woman, to the boy, to the girl. Blessed is the person. Blessed is the man. So how many here look at 2021 and say, you know what? I think I'd like to be blessed this year. Raise your hand if you would like God's blessing in your life. Okay, raise your hand if you don't want God's blessing in your life. Okay, we want God's blessing in our life. We don't start out a new year and say, oh boy, I really, and it could be a hard year, right? It could be a hard year. But we don't start out the year saying, boy, I really don't really need God's blessing. No, I need God's blessing, and we want God's blessing, and we desire God's blessing. And so God says, here's the key to blessing. And Psalm 1, which opens up all the Psalms for us, it sits there as that fork in the road and directs us. And the first thing that Scripture says in Psalm 1 is before you get to the delightful parts of God's blessing and what gives blessing, there's some things that stand in the way of that blessing. And so Scripture has the perfect balance of the negative and the positive. You know, the negative commands, thou shalt not, and the positive commands, you need to do this. And it has that perfect blend. You know, no one likes to be around someone who's just always critical. Critical, 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 and doesn't have anything to say about where we should go. But on the other hand, if it's all just positive, positive, life is all grand, and there's no reality to it, well, that can get you off key as well. Where Scripture has the perfect balance of both the negative and the positive. And in Psalm 1, it starts out with the blessing. Blessed is the man who does not do this. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So the blessing of this year will be the person who does not do something. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who doesn't even stand in the path of the sinners. So you don't go walking with the ungodly. You don't stand there in fellowship with the ungodly. And you don't get real comfortable and sit down with those who are scornful. I think we know what the ungodly means. It means those who are against God. Sinners are those who miss the mark, those who are not characterized by righteousness. The scoffers are those who scorn and mock at folly. So to sit in the seat of the scornful is to have fellowship with those who mock at wisdom. Proverbs 1:21. They mock at wisdom. They make fun of wisdom and the path of righteousness. So Scripture makes it very clear that to be blessed, you don't partake in, you don't fellowship with the ungodly, sinful, scornful ideas of our day and people of our day and books of our day and media of our day and music of our day and movies of our day, because they will destroy your affection for God. So this extends to all of the forms in which the ungodly, sinful, scoffing people are making their will known. And you better believe, you better be aware of the movies and the media and the music that are not acknowledging God, that are scoffing at God, that are presenting an alternative reality to the reality of God's word. So if you're listening to those things, if you're partaking of those things, if you're walking in those things, then you're already shooting yourself in the foot for God's blessing that he has for you this year. Now everybody said, I want God's blessing. So to get God's blessing, Psalm 1, means you're not going to be giving your attention to, you're not going to be focusing on, you're not going to be listening, partaking, and sitting in these ungodly influences, means, people, and then the world just goes and has and bombards you with them. Blessed is the man who is free from them. Blessed is the man. So we start out with the negative, and the negative opens up the pathway for the positive. The negative, in other words, repent and believe the gospel, right? These negative commands really help us to get to the good stuff. And here's the good stuff. It's a contrast. There's two paths. Blessed is the man who is not doing this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight. And the Hebrew word for delight is a strong emotional satisfaction. His delight is in the Torah of Yahweh, the instructions of God. He delights in the things of God. He delights in the Word of God. He thinks about the Word of God. He just yearns for God and his Word. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And because he delights in that law, in his law, he meditates day and night. What does it mean to meditate? To meditate is to think and to process and to feel deeply about something. It's to think and to process and to feel deeply about God and his word. To meditate, you know, the word picture is, see the sheep over there? They ate this morning. Their food is gone, but they have those different categories in their stomachs. They're ruminating. They're ruminants. And they're sitting there, and they'll just sit there all content, and they're ruminating, and they're digesting their food. And they'll do that all day. And then they'll be starving again tonight, and they'll want more food. That's meditate, regurgitating, just thinking, just sucking everything out of that nutrients. So they have to break down some hard materials. Our bodies couldn't break down the stuff they eat, the hay and that. If we ate that, it would just like go right through us. It would make us sick. We couldn't digest. We couldn't get the nutrients out of it. To meditate means to get the nutrients out of. And you do that when you think deeply, ponder greatly. Meaning it gets down to the deep recesses of your heart. Your innermost being. When you're thinking about God and his law in your innermost being, that's when you're meditating. Some people say, well, how could you meditate on God's word day and night? When God's word is in the deep recesses of your being, that's what you'll think about. Now, we all have that. We all have a deep recess of our being. In the deep recesses of our being, our inner man, our inner heart, we're all thinking about things. We're all processing things. We're all desiring things. And our natural man desires its covetousness. We want more. I want more. I want to be pleasant. I want to be comfortable. I want to be healthy and wealthy and wise, right? I want whatever you want. where when that gets satisfied with God, when the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want, and he leads me and he directs me and he guides me, and now his law is my delight and his law is my meditation and his law is what I think about. What does Scripture say about this? What is the meaning of Scripture here? What does this text say in this context? How does this verse relate here? How can I show love to my neighbor? How can I worship God? How can I praise God? Praise be to God, we have a new year. The inner recesses of my heart, meditate on his law day and night. So the key is really is meditation. Meditation. Getting enough of God's word in you every morning so you can meditate on it day and night. So you're going to be eating God's word, feeding on God's word, snacking on God's word, delighting in God's word, meditating on the Torah of Yahweh, the law of God, day and night. That's the key activity. The key activity is to meditate, to digest your deepest thoughts around and in and through the word of God. The outcome of this, there's two outcomes. If you give attention to God's word, it produces fruit. It produces blessing. It produces success. What is success? Success is obedience to God. Success is being in the will of God. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So how many here want to be prosperous in 2021? Want to be prosperous? Yes, I want to be prosperous, absolutely. How do we get that prosperity? Delighting in the law of the Lord, meditating on his word day and night. He shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, when I was in Pennsylvania, I really didn't understand the word picture here. I went to Israel, and that helped me a little bit. And now after living in Arizona, I think I got it cemented in my brain, right? You know, when you're reading the Old Testament, they talk about, yeah, by that tree. And I'm thinking, how in the world could they mark a tree? You know, where I came from in Pennsylvania, it's like gazillions of trees. By that tree? You know, out here, it's like, oh, remember they cut down that tree over there? When we go by the bridge, they cut a big tree down. And we say, hey, look, they cut the tree down. 5 years later, hey, because there's a tree missing. And we notice it, right? Well, this is by the tree by the rivers of water. It's the tree planted by the wash, or in Israel, by the wadis, right? It's the tree that has the deep, deep roots. The mesquite trees that go down their roots, like, how long are they? A mile deep, Bill? They go down deep. I don't know how long they go far they go down. I forget. But they go down deep, right? That taproot goes deep, deep, deep down. And it's in that deep water. They're planted by the rivers of water. And no matter what is happening in the weather, whether a drought or a famine, or a rainstorm, a monsoon, right? It doesn't matter. They're rooted in and they're bearing fruit through the storms of life. That's the picture there. They're rooted in and they're bearing fruit. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever it does, he prospers. So prosperity comes. I'm telling you, this is the key. You don't have to have this endless list of things to do. The Christian life is pretty simple. Guard your heart. That's the only thing you're responsible for this year. You can't control other people's heart. You can't control other people's lives, right? What you do have the most control over is yourself. Guard your heart. Meditate on God's word day and night, and it will bring blessing. It will bring prosperity to your life. Now, that's the outcome of meditating day and night on the word of God, delighting in God's word. There's another outcome. If you neglect this spiritual blessing, then there's another consequence. You'll see in your outline here, you'll see there's two outcomes to all these. The other outcome is to be ungodly. And the ungodly are not so. They don't delight in the Torah of Yahweh. They don't delight in God's commandments. They don't delight in the gospel of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose again. They don't delight in the things of God. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. They're light and fluffy. They have much to do about nothing. They invest in things and they work on things and they do things. But like the chaff, which the wind drives away, they do the harvest, they throw the grain up in the air, and the chaff blows away because it's not worth much. It's the chaff, it's the worthless things that just get blown away. The ungodly are like that. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And here's the reason why. And that's verse 6. The reason why this will always be this way is verse 6. Verse 6 is what causes Psalm 1 and all the events in your life. And the reason there are always two ways to live, there are always two choices to make, whether to trust God or not trust God, whether to embrace the gospel or reject the gospel, whether to be blessed this year or to be blown away this year. And that is because of verse 6. Because Yahweh, the Lord, he knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's the reason why. And that will always be true. Now, is that always true immediately? No. So if I make one bad choice, does that mean I'm going to get blown away like the chaff? No. But it's the pattern of your life that the Lord knows the way. He is intimately acquainted with the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. So there's always a reaping and a sowing. There's always a season. You bring forth fruit in its season. So let me encourage you to meditate on the Word of God, to delight in the Word of God, that you may bear fruit. Does that mean if you do your devotions and you meditate on the Lord, one day you're going to have all the fruit? No! It means as you do that, God's going to be giving you his blessing, and he's going to give you his blessing. It's his will to give you this blessing throughout the year, Lord willing. And in the season of fruit, that's when he'll bless, that's when he'll give you that fruit. You know when that's going to be? No. But we do know something about seasons, right? And we have grapefruit. It's the seasons for grapefruit now. It's the seasons for citrus. So we all, in Phoenix here, we have tons of citrus, right? We got people like giving their citrus away. But it's hard to find the apples, right? We have a lot of lettuce. Yeah, I mean, Yuma is the lettuce capital of the world. We got tons of lettuce, right? But it's hard to get the squash. So there's seasons to things, right? Everything has a season. We understand that from agricultural. That picture in agriculture is the same way in our spirits. So if you're going through a hard time, what do you need to do? Delight in God's law. If you're going through a good time, what do you need to do? Delight in God's law. You'll bear fruit if you don't faint not. That's the first key. Psalm chapter 1. Here's the second key. The second key is to pray Scripture. So if you're meditating on Scripture, you could say an aspect of that would be praying Scripture. If you're meditating on Scripture, you will be praying Scripture. Many will get disillusioned because God will not answer their prayer the way they think it should be answered this year. How many have ever been discouraged because God just didn't answer their prayer the way they thought it should be answered? I have. I've prayed what I thought are some really good things, right? And God just did not answer them in the way that I was hoping he would answer them. And so when that happens, you know, there's a danger to get disillusioned or to wonder, what is God doing here? And sometimes we can draw a wrong conclusion. Well, I guess God doesn't care about me. He never answers my prayer. Well, wait a minute there. He didn't answer that prayer. Does that mean he doesn't answer any prayers? And so we want to really hone in on praying Scripture. Because there's a lot of people that pray. I mean, a lot of people pray. There's a lot of people praying for what's going to happen January 6th. There's a lot of people praying on from every... I mean, I'm walking through Walmart and people are talking about it, right? I mean, it's just like there's a lot of people praying on every different perspective, right? But we want to be praying Scripture. We want to pray God's will. We want to know and pray God's will. And I want to hone in on one verse. It's John 15:7-8. If you use this key to pray Scripture, look what Jesus said. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. beautiful passage of Scripture. The word abide is meno, and one of the translations of that word is to make your home with. So if you make your home, Jesus said, if you make your home with me, and my words are at home with you, your prayer life is going to take off. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. So if God's word is at home in you, and you are at home with God's word, if you abide in Jesus, and this is John 15, the fruit and the vine, the whole context, without me you can do nothing, I am the vine, you are the branches. It's the context here. It gets real specific. If you abide in me, if you take this key and you unlock the door and you're at home with me, you know how it feels like when you're in a busy day and you get home, it's like, ah, we're finally home. If you're like, oh, I'm finally with Jesus, and you live with Jesus, and you continue with Jesus, all three of these principles have a continuation. Day and night, abide with me, and then in all your ways acknowledge him. These are comprehensive, continuous activities. You make your home with Jesus. And you abide with Jesus. And his word, he gets specific. Jesus said, and my word abides in you. So you're in me and I'm in you. That's a relationship. I'm in you, you're in me. Jesus' words are in you. And you are in Jesus. You're in Christ. You believe the gospel. He died for you. He came and he bought you and he saved you. And you are in Christ. If you abide in Christ and his word abides in you, then that is going to transform your desire. What are you going to desire? I like how it goes from, if your word abides in me, ask what you desire. What are you going to desire? If his word is in you, you're going to desire his word, right? You're going to be eating his word as honey. You're going to be desiring his will, his word, his way. You're going to be desiring his glory. And so what are you going to ask for? You're going to ask for the things of God. You're going to ask that our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us trespasses. You're going to pray how Christ taught you. You're going to desire the things of God. And you're going to ask for the things of God. And God's going to grant you his will. That's the promise here. The key activity is to pray God's will, revealed in God's words, desired by your heart. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, writing God's word in your heart. This is what the Spirit of God does. This is what being a Christian is all about. Key activity, key outcome. Look at the outcome. Verse 8. By this, my Father is glorified. How many say, yeah, 2021, I want to glorify God this year. I want to glorify the Father. Praying Scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit will glorify God this year. And you will prove yourself to be a disciple. Jesus said, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. We will be his. We will show ourselves to be his disciples. What could be more important than that? That's the second key. The third key puts it into life. Trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Here we start out with a positive. Trust in the Lord. This is what you need to do. And to trust in the Lord with all your heart means you're not going to do the negative. There is a negative. Lean not on your own understanding. To trust in God means to have a settled trust in who God is and in what God does. Notice it says trust in God, trust in Yahweh, with all your heart. What is the heart? The core of who you are. That's right. the core, the Hebrew word for heart, the leb, is the core of who you are. In the Greek mind, in Greek, it's more like love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. So there's different nuances. The Hebrew concept puts them all together and uses one word, heart. So the heart is the core of who you are, what you think, what you feel, what you will, what you choose, and what you do. The heart is the core of who you are. It's the inner man. It's what you think about. It's who you really are. So in that inner man, we all have faith assumptions. We all have core assumptions that drive our life. You do. I do. My neighbors do. Your coworkers do. Everybody is religious in that everybody has core assumptions that drive their life. So the key to the Christian life is to repent of trusting in yourself and to trust in the gospel, which means trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means in the core of who you are, your fundamental presupposition is that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and that God is faithful. Who's the movers? It's a moving van. You see that? Huh? You want to go see who that is? Someone should check. I mean, because they're not going to be able to pull or turn around once they pull in there. It's locked in pretty tight. The core of who you are. Trusting in the Lord. So all of us have a fundamental presupposition in the core of our heart. Now, what happens is, look here. It's a very narrow part of the core of who you are. And what happens is gunk gets put in there, like sin and pride and distractions. And people are distracted in our culture. People have always been distracted, but we have a lot of pretty cool distractions. We have way better distractions than they did even 100 years ago, right? I mean, they used to get together and have play games and do stuff. I mean, we got like movies and like iPhones, like pretty cool stuff, right? But what happens is we have all these things, and they keep us from really getting to the heart of our hearts, okay? So what we're talking about here is trust in the Lord with all that you are. So that's where you got to remove the distractions. You got to remove the things that get in the way. You got to remove that so you can trust in the Lord with all your heart, okay? So that fundamentally there is a faith in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And what that is going to look like, it's going to look like leaning not in your own understanding. So each of us has a set of presuppositions that says we know how to live life. Now, you were born with that. My little two-year-old, he says, no, it's mine, right? You ever hear a little guy? It's mine. I'll do it my way, right? Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. It's mine. I'll do it my way. We all have that. But there's a war within us when we come to God. God says, no, trust in me with all your heart and lean not in your own understandings. That way you're not going to lean. You're not going to put your weight on what you think and what you feel. Now listen, there's nothing more unnatural in this way than the Christian life. There's nothing more natural than to say, I'm going to do what I want when I feel the way I want, the way I think about it. Right? Why not? I'm me. How many have ever thought that way? I mean, we all do, right? That's our natural way of thinking. But when we come to Christ, Jesus says, follow me. He says, repent and believe the gospel. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your being, and lean not in your own understanding. You follow me with this? This is why this is a fundamental key. This is a key to blessing. Because if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and you lean not in your own understanding, if you tie everything into God and all of your activity into God, then you can do the key activity. This is the trust, and then in the outline it says key activity. The key activity is this: in all your ways acknowledge him. The outcome is, and he shall direct your paths. The key activity, in all your ways, acknowledge him. I'm going to talk about that for a minute. In all your ways, acknowledge him means that you see life and you live life and you process life from God's perspective. In all your ways, acknowledge means you know God. In all your ways, you acknowledge him, and he will direct your life. That's a scriptural-directed life. That means all scripture for all life. The psalmist said it like this in Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. So here's this word picture. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So it's like taking that flashlight out. So here it is on a dark night, and you take the flashlight out, and you turn the flashlight on, and it illumines the path. That's God's word. So to trust in the Lord with all your heart means you don't walk in the dark. You take the light, and the way the light shines, the path that it illuminates is the path that you walk. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now listen, each of you, this year, God in his providence has placed in a specific place, in a specific family, in a specific context, and has a specific calling and a specific lesson for you as designed by his providence. And it's specific only to you. Each, in this sense, each person has their own individual calling. Isn't that kind of neat? God has us, he's teaching us things individually, and he has his own specific for each of you, and he has special lessons that he's going to teach you, and he has you right where he wants you for you to learn certain things. In other words, he's going to put certain things in your path that you have to learn about, that you have to make a choice about. Maybe you'll have a health crisis or a health problem. Maybe you'll have great health. Maybe you'll have a baby. Maybe you won't have a baby. Maybe you'll have this situation. Maybe you'll have a work trial. Maybe you'll make tons of money. Maybe you'll lose your money. Maybe you'll get a new job. I don't know, right? I mean, there's gonna be, maybe he'll open a door. Maybe he'll close the door. Who knows? My point is, God in his providence has designed you to learn from God. And God in his providence has placed you in a specific place where you can learn of him. What his design for you is that as he places these trials and blessings and circumstances in your life, that you, here's the key activity, that you acknowledge him. God, what do you want me to learn from you? God, what are you teaching me here? See it? God, what are you teaching me here? And when you, in all your ways, in all the different steps that you take, in all the different places you go, in all your ways, as you acknowledge him, God will direct your steps. That's the key activity. What do you think? Do you see it? Can you put yourself in, okay, I think this is where God has me. This is what he's teaching me. I mean, this is a great, at the beginning of a year, I encourage everybody to put yourself, okay, this is where God has me. This is God's teaching me. I'm going to acknowledge him. I'm going to meditate on his word. I'm going to pray through these things so that he directs my steps. How do you do this? I'll run through a few verses. First, be still before God. The psalmist says, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. Psalm 62:5. So here's a circumstance, in all your ways acknowledge him. Be still before God, says, Lord, before I take this step, I want my expectation to be what you want it to be. What does your word say about this? What does your word say about this opportunity? What does your word say about this choice? Be still before God. And when you are still before God, you have to slow down and wait for God. You have to wait for God. You have to wait for God to give you the answer. You have to practice stillness and silence before God. Why is that so important? Because if you're not practicing stillness and silence before God, you naturally will lean on your own understanding. How many people here are picking up what I'm putting down right there? How many people here just run, just go through life, right? I got this, I got this, I got this, right? Woo! Oops! Yeah, who said that? That was a good one. I don't got it. Yeah. So We wait for God. Psalm 25, verse 5 says, show me your ways. Those four words, I have to stop and drop to my knees and pray, God, show me your ways. Oh, Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day long. Lord, there's things in my life that I don't know. God, there's things that I don't understand. Lord, there's doors that I can't open. Father, I pray that you give me a heart to do your will. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. Slow down. Wait for the Lord. Be silent before him. I'm all for working to your heart. I'm all for, working till you drop. But before you work like that, you got to slow down. You got to stop. You got to pray. You got to ponder. Otherwise, you'll be like the horse running full steam ahead outside of God's will. Seek him first. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. That means first. So that means early, first thing. It means throughout the day. It means at the end of the day, meditate. I love Psalm 63 for that. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and weary ground where there is no water. I love you, Lord. Early will I seek him. It means spending time to know your own heart and to remove your own understanding. Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. So the thoughts of a man are like deep water. Can you see what's in the deep water? Well, kind of. It's kind of murky down there, right? And it's kind of distorted. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. That's why you got to slow down and know God. You got to know yourself. You got to draw out the counsel in your heart. Listen, can you tell me why you do what you do? Well, sometimes we can, and sometimes like, well, I don't know. And we don't know because we just so go, 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 and so distracted by all the cool things, and we got the best distractions in the world. I don't know why I do that. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. When he draws it out, what does he do? He draws it out, and he examines it in light of God's word. That's why you got to slow down to do this. You have to know and remove your own understanding so that in all your ways you can acknowledge him as you put off the old man, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, and put on the new man, which is being renewed in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Have your mind renewed. Put off the old. Put on the new. Renew your mind in the gospel. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, the mercies of God that he just exposited from chapter 1 to chapter 11 of Romans. Some amazing truth. We're justified by grace. The ungodly are justified by grace. The ungodly are given righteousness. You got to be kidding me. That is the best news ever, right? I mean, therefore we have peace with God by faith, not by any works that we have done in righteousness. Wow. I mean, hello, this is awesome. By the mercies of God, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is only a reasonable service. So my mind and my body and my will is God's. Why? Because of the mercy of God. So to have a scriptural-driven life is to have a mercy-driven life, is to have a grace-centered life. What motivates us is the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. This is my reasonable service. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Take time to meditate on the gospel. Take time to give thanks to the gospel, for the gospel. To renew your mind in the gospel. To make sure you're not being conformed to this world. The world will never stop trying to conform you into its mold. The world has a prefab mold that is pushing. And it never stops. And the only way out is to renew your mind in the gospel, in the gospel, in the gospel, in the mercy of God, in the love of God. And as you do that, you do not have to be conformed to this world, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you do God's will. You prove God's will. This is your full-time job this year. Three keys. Meditate, pray, and trust in God. Guard your heart. Proverbs chapter 4:23. Keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. That's Proverbs 4:23, one of the most important verses in all the Bible on this subject. Why? Because from your heart flows everything. So here's you can go this year one of two ways. You can guard the command center of your life, or you can try to guard and control everything else. And people fit in there, and there's a spectrum, but listen, people fit in one of those two categories in a spectrum. You know what I mean by a continuum or a spectrum? So there's people that have learned to guard their heart, and that from it flows the issue of life. So here comes everything in life. Well, they don't have to control that. Why? Because they're guarding their heart. But if you don't guard your heart, then your life is out of control. You do not understand why things happen the way they do, and you don't understand how to make sense of even yourself in your life. Things are out of control. And so what do people like that do? They try to control everything in life. Legalism, Phariseeism, unhealthy relationships, that's what that is, right? Control freaks. Right? That's what that is. What's the answer to that? Guard your heart. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I am gentle and lowly in heart. Jesus comes to transform your heart. The heart of every matter is a matter of the heart. You really have one thing to do this year. Guard your heart. Your heart. Not my heart. Not your neighbor's heart. Not Phil Smith's heart. We're all going to guard Phil Smith's heart this year. No, guard your heart. And here's some examples. I just throw these are for free. Here's some ways to do it. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. This is the context of guard your heart. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eye look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or left. Remove your foot from evil. So it's not saying deny what's going on around you. It's saying ponder the path of your feet. Look where you're going. Set a goal and stay to it. But you do that in relationship to guarding your heart. Then as you guard your heart, you can have heart-to-heart relationships with other people that are meaningful, healthy, and authentic. I think it's a much better way to live. That's why I am excited about 2021, because I have the keys. And I'm giving them to you. And they're not my keys, they're God's. And he's given them to me. He showed them to me, and I'm showing them to you. And if you want to have victory in your life, you want to be blessed in this world, you can have it. Guard your heart. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, 9-11. Hide God's word in your heart that you may not sin against him. As you walk in this world, you will be tempted to be like this world. The lifestyle, the patterns, the attitudes, the education, the success, the media, the music, the time stewardship, the relationships. The world is a complete package, right? Ungodly, however you want to say it. Love not the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm talking about the love of God here. The love of the Father is not in the world or the things in the world. And the world is passing away and the lust thereof. 1 John 2:15. So come out from the world and receive the love of God. And keep yourself in the love of God. And keep yourself in the truth of God, in the word of God, to guard your heart and to love God and to be loved by him, to receive his love. Jesus said, Whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken to him a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it didn't fall, for it was founded on the rock. Listen, we're all going to have trials this year. Hard trials. But if we hear God's word and obey it, we'll stand. Everyone who hears these things of mine and doesn't do them will be like a foolish man who built his house in the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. This is always the outcome. So God tells us the outcome. He tells us how we can know the future in general. Now, we don't know the specifics, but we know the general patterns. We've been given them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. That's the key. That's the outcome. What will you do? What will you do? He will direct your path. He will bless your life. You will glorify him as your father, and you will prove to be his disciples. These are the three keys to give you a blessing this year. And these keys, listen, these keys, these three keys, nothing can stop them. That's the cool part about this. Nothing can, these are unstoppable. Nothing can stop them. Nothing. Nothing can keep you from the love of God. Romans 8, nothing can stop these keys. Meditating on God's word, praying God's word, and trusting in God. No one can take this from you. No one. Not your parents, not your grandparents, not your pastor, not your president, not your boss, not your coworker, not the government. No one can take this from you. It's yours. The only one who can keep you from experiencing God's best blessing in this year is you. So what will you do? Will you take these keys? Will you open the door? And will you walk through to have a God-centered, Scripture-directed life this year? I pray you do. Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for these three passages of Scripture that are so dear to our hearts. We love these passages of Scripture, and they are so illuminating to us, for us. Now, I pray your Spirit would take your word and write these in our hearts, that we would continue to experience the amazing grace and blessing that you have for us, your church, that you would continue to convict us of our sin, convict me of my sin, where I do lean on my own understanding and fall short. But even in that, it leads me to grace and the restoration of my relationship with you. Lord, you are our all in all. You are an awesome God. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory. We thank you for this year. We thank you for the good things you're going to do. We thank you for the amazing doors that you have opened, are opening, and will yet open. I thank you for the restoration of relationships. I thank you for the restorative nature of the gospel. I thank you for your abundant provision. I thank you for the way in which you call us to walk with you. I thank you for what you're doing in this world. I thank you for what you're doing in this nation. I thank you for your blessing in your church and the revival and reformation that you are bringing. To you be all glory, honor, power, praise, wisdom, and strength through Christ our Lord, we pray.